The Black Scholars Podcast.
BlackScholarsPublishing.com.
That we should get our own. Once we have our own, we're respected for the fact that we can create our own. And that's equality right there.
Start a record label, Miss Fish just did it. Nylon cover 5 minutes. Whoa, we are too hot in the business. About to make a movie independent. Need new
track. As well, teachers do not get paid enough in this country, as you all know. Let's talk specifically about the American Teacher Act. You are pushing for, advocating for a minimum salary in this country of $60,000 a year. How do you get it done?
We have to make sure Republicans are on the record as either supporting teachers or not supporting teachers. We know Democrats, by and large, support our teachers. We support our kids. We support our public schools. But Republicans always fight us on this. There are some states, I mean, the average teacher salary across the country is $45,000, but there are some states where they make much less than that.
Yeah.
$60,000 should be the bare minimum, and it needs to be tied to inflation. So it adjusts, cost of living adjustments are a part of this particular piece of legislation. We have to take care of our teachers in order to take care of our kids. We have to take care of our kids in order to have a healthy society and democracy. And we are in a crisis of teacher shortages right now across the country.
Yeah.
We had teacher shortages before the pandemic in special education and in mathematics and science. It's getting worse now. This is a way to recruit them back into the classrooms because we need them so desperately.
You talk about the cost of living adjustment for inflation. What about cost of living adjustment for location? If you're talking about a New York City public school teacher, $60,000 isn't going to get you very far. In other areas, you'll do quite well with $60,000 a year.
Yes, exactly. So we're happy to have the AFT and NEA, who are endorsers of this bill.
Yeah.
The AFT and the UFT in New York in particular have been very strong as a union to make sure teachers earn a prevailing wage. We need to make sure teachers are earning a prevailing wage across the country. And that's why we're also pushing back against this right to work nonsense that keeps teachers out of unions. We need to grow unions, and we need to make sure teachers are represented.
Democratic Congressman Jamal Bowman, what grade in elementary school?
So I taught kindergarten.
Wow.
Through fourth grade.
Wow.
Which is a lot of fun.
My oldest is a kindergartner. I'm sure it was a lot of fun, quote unquote. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
So let's talk about $60,000. $60,000. If someone called you today and said, hey, I got 60 grand for you to teach these kids. We heard you're the best in science. We heard you're the best in English. We heard you're the best Spanish teacher in the business. I got 60 racks for you right now. Go ahead and sign this one-year contract. Are you signing? Many of us have already signed for that. Many of us have already signed for less. I know I certainly did. When I started my teaching career back in 2009, it was $40,000 that I signed for. I signed for 40 of those racks. And that was to teach special education, right? And I had a pretty much self-contained classroom. I can't remember if any of my students went out and did anything else as far as participating in general election classes or just general classes. General education classes, to be specific. I'm trying to think. I maybe had one that went out and maybe participated in like an art or a PE. Most of them, they stayed with me the entire day. That's how my teacher career started. Even before I was officially a teacher, as a teaching assistant, that's how I started. So many of us have signed up for less, whether it was in the past or you're a brand new teacher right now and you signed up for less. Some of us are getting more, okay? So let's talk about it. So 60 bands, 60 racks, that is going to be the new federal minimum wage for teachers. and that is K through 12. And that is being proposed by a representative out of Florida. Let's see, her name is Representative Federica Wilson. No relation to me, as far as I know, but we could potentially be related, because we are skin folk, so we could potentially be kinfolk. But December 14th, she proposed this bill. It has yet to go through the official process. I've read some headlines that different representatives from different states, namely one from Mississippi, don't have his name off the top of my head, but there are several. It's starting to pick up traction is what I'm trying to say. And so let's actually break down the bill. Let's introduce it. So basically, it's going to be a 4-year federal grant that's going to be given to states slash school districts. 15% is going to go to the state, and 85% is going to go directly to a school district, right? So think about how many school districts are in your city, in your region, in your state. They're going to get a lot of money, right? Over a period of 4 years once this thing is passed, if it is passed. I have a hunch that it's going to get passed, okay? But just because it's going to get passed doesn't mean that K through 12 changes. So let's talk about that. So the goal is basically, obviously, for all teachers to start their teaching career at a respectable salary. Is $60,000 a respectable salary if you're fresh out of college or you're fresh off of changing careers? You got your licensure, you took your certification exams, you got your degree, you walked across that stage. Now you are responsible for educating today and tomorrow's youth. Is that a respectable salary? We all have different opinions on that. If you look at most other professions, whether it's an accountant, or a nurse, you know, doctors are going to be a bit different because they have to do a lot of schooling. Just thinking of, you finish with a bachelor's degree, you got licensure, you took tests, you graduated, now you're starting a brand new career. I think $60,000 is pretty average. Is it respectable? I'm not sure. Because it also is going to depend on like what state you are in specifically. And we're going to look at like some different numbers from different states. But let's talk more about this bill. This bill also will require an adjustment to part-time teacher salaries, and it would require states to maintain teacher salary structures that reflect the $60,000 minimum. What does that mean? So like I told you guys, I started out 40 grand as a teacher. Okay. So if you looked on at that time, Memphis City Schools salary schedule or salary scale for teachers, it started at 40 grand. Bachelor's degree, no experience. You've never done this before. We give you 40,000 for the year. Okay. So if we make it 60 instead of the 40, that's a pretty good start for a brand spanking new teacher, right? In the state of Tennessee, okay? If I'm having this conversation with someone in California, in Los Angeles, San Diego, or someone in New York City, New York, or Albany, New York, that 60,000 doesn't hit the same, right? Those 60 racks, it doesn't hit the same. So it's good, but is it a long-term solution, right? That's what we're going to discuss. The purpose of the American Teacher Act is to raise teacher morale and respect for the profession, also filling teacher shortages throughout the country. So let's just look at some numbers real quick. So currently, current teacher pay varies. We all know that. For example, in New York, the average base salary is about 90 grand. In Mississippi, which it used to be way lower than this when I first started, but Mississippi, their average base salary is $46,000, right? So even that $46,000 is, you know, that's 14 grand less than this federal minimum wage for teachers. That would be great. That gives them an extra $14,000, right? There's also this issue. So they talked about, you know, teacher morale, respect for the profession, but let's keep it real. That's what we do here. Teachers are scheduled to work, you know, seven and a half hours a day. Calculate that by five. Most teachers, high quality educators, work, especially assistant principals and whatnot, and principals, work way more. Even counselors work way more than, you know, the 39.7 hours or 40 hours or whatever it is. We work at least 10, 12 hours on average in this country, more than that. So about 52, 53 hours a week, an average educator works K through 12 per week, right? Not including any side hustles, side jobs, anything else you're doing to take care of yourself and or your family, okay? So this $60,000, I would hope, although they didn't list it as a part of the purpose, I would hope is to somewhat help with the workload. As far as you're putting in all these hours, you should be getting paid more anyway. And because we're salaried and not hourly, and we know why that is, it's time for some reparations in a sense. But is $60,000 enough? I don't think so. But let's continue to look at numbers. So I checked out a few different cities and basically like their main school districts, right? So in Little Rock, and I chose Little Rock because I'm in Memphis. For whatever reason, I love Little Rock. My grandfather's from Little Rock. I've been to Little Rock several times as a kid. I've been to Little Rock as an adult. It's one of my favorite cities, okay? Little Rock School District starts out at $45,500, right? We're talking, you just changed careers, you don't have teaching experience, and or you're a brand new teacher, you just finished school, you just got your licensure, you make 45 grand, okay? For an entire year, you get 45,000 from your primary profession where you're going to spend at least 52, 53 hours per week, okay? You guys can do the math, break it down, pull out the calculators, you can see how much that is per hour. That's embarrassing. And it caps out or ends at about 77,000. Now, to get to that 77,000, which is great in Arkansas, 77,000 in Arkansas is great, right? Because it's a lower cost of income. But it takes 21 years in order for you to get to that 77,000. And that's with a master's degree plus 30, right? And for those who don't know what the plus 30 or plus 45 or plus meaning, more than likely that person has an EDS, okay? You got your master's degree, you got the education specialist, then you have a doctorate degree. More than likely plus 30, that means you have a EDS or you're on your way to an EDS, okay? Or you could just have a bunch of extra credits, right, over the master's degree that will qualify for you to get 77,000. All right, now I'm not going to reveal too much of my business, but I do need to relay some of my experience to kind of help this hit home. And sometimes when I'm speaking from experience, I'm speaking from people I exactly know. It might not necessarily be me. In this circumstance, I'm talking about me. So I initially left education, as I told you guys last episode. I initially left the classroom teaching. And I made that easily. Just stepping over into tech, just stepping over into data analytics, to be specifically. This is with no experience. Now, of course, I had experience in the classroom setting. I had experience in the school setting, right? Especially as a learning coach, right? But I changed careers. Okay, I changed careers completely. And so in changing careers, I was able to make the same dollar amount that in Arkansas, So, you know, Little Rock to Memphis is about 3 hours difference. It's not that much different. The cost of living, probably higher here in Memphis, Tennessee than it is in Little Rock, but it's not a huge difference. Okay. I was able to make that same dollar amount. Let's let that marinate for a second. Someone who is doing their profession for 21 years, right? With educational experience just shy of a doctorate degree, makes the same amount as someone in a different career field, right? Who's starting out brand spanking new. So we're, and this is pretty much the point of this episode, and I want you guys to think through this. Education's highest is some other industry's lowest. That's sad, guys. That's despicable. I should note also on this website for Little Rock School District, you can look it up yourselves as well too. Educators get an extra $500 per year for a doctorate degree, extra $500, and an extra $3,000 for national board certification. So you would be better off going to get nationally board certified, which is a lot of work. And I know some nationally board certified educators. They're great. It's a lot of work, though. I know the workload that goes into it because I considered at one point, and I strongly considered, nah, I'm good. But you get an extra $3,000 for that. And also, to be clear, I'm also not sure if that's annually they get an extra $3,000 or if it's they just get an extra $3,000. I would hope it's annual, right? I would hope if they're at, you know, that $77,000, now they're getting $80,000. But let's be honest, guys, with inflation, with all your deductions, especially when you grow a family and start a family, that's not a lot of money. I'm going to Investopedia.com, which is one of my favorite websites. I use it like in the stock market when I was like learning stock market. I still refer to it sometimes. There's certain things in the stock market that I don't 100% understand, but they got a lot of just great information, anything related to finance, right? So if you think about your check, between federal income taxes, which went up about or is going up about 7% on average in 2023. Let me say that again because I want that to marinate as well too. Our taxes, federal taxes, are going up about 7% for a U.S. citizen in this country making money. Yes, you will see larger deductions taken out for federal taxes from your paychecks that you depend on. Okay? So federal taxes are going up. Grocery store, everything is higher. I know you guys have seen the price of eggs. I don't drink cow's milk, but I heard that went up too. Price of butter went up. Price of everything. Black olives, organic chicken. Everything has went up in price as far as food is concerned. Okay? Then if you live in a state, and actually let me look this up real quick. What states don't have state income tax? I'm in one of them, Tennessee, Alaska, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming. If you live in any other state, you have to pay state income taxes as well. Okay, so federal taxes, I just told you that went up by 7%. I wouldn't be surprised if state income taxes went up, but you guys will have to research that because I can't relate, but I used to be able to relate when I lived in Wisconsin. We all have to pay FICA, which is the Federal Insurance Contributions Act. That is approximately 6.2% of your income. And then plus we all pay an extra 1.45% of Medicare, right? There is a way to wiggle out of FICA and Medicare, but it means you have to make a lot of money and be considered a high income earner at one particular job, right? And that number changes. I think the cap, let's see, looks like the cap is about $160,000. So if you earn over $160,000 in your job from your employer, then you don't have to pay the FICA, Social Security. Well, FICA or Social Security, which again, 6.2%, 1.45%. I know you're like, man, Leonard, you're tripping. Those are just like little petty numbers. That doesn't mean much. Yes, it does. When you're making 60 grand, and again, a lot of people don't even make the 60 grand. When you're making 60 grand, we got inflation up on everything, gas, food, rent, mortgage. Have you guys seen the mortgage rates lately? They're ridiculous. Now, the other part of this bill is the reason why that 15% is going to the states is because the states are responsible for keeping up with the cost of inflation. So you'll get a 1% raise, 2%, 3%, 4%. What's 1% of 60 grand? I let my math teachers answer, and everybody says $600. So even if it's 4%, that's $2,400. Maybe that's an extra check for you. Actually, that is. If you make 60 grand a year, you know, that's actually a little bit bigger than what you would get on a regular check, right? So it's an extra check. That extra check is not going to do much. Let's keep going. San Diego, my favorite city in the entire world. One of the reasons why I'm doing everything that I'm doing so I can get the real bags, so I could probably move to San Diego, California. And if I don't officially move to San Diego, California, I'm going to live in San Diego, California at least one season out of the year, every year for the rest of my life. That's how much I love San Diego. So San Diego Unified, they start out at just shy of 51 grand and they cap out at 107,000. And that's if you have a bachelor's plus 90 credit hours or semester hours, or a master's degree plus 84 credit hours. That's a lot of credit hours. That basically means that you're in a doctorate program, or you're in a doctorate program, because it takes 60 to 120 semester hours to finish a doctorate program, right? And if we're talking about EDDs, since we are in education, you're close to a doctorate degree if you don't already have it, right? And you have to, actually, I didn't put the years on here, I'm sorry. I think for this one, it was 22 years. It's 20, again, you guys can look this up. It's on San Diego Unified, their website, which is the main school district in San Diego. And I know they have more than one school district, but you start out at 51,000, and then again, you cap out at 107,000 after 22 years of teaching and almost earning a doctorate degree. How does this affect the rest of the scale, right? So if people are making or are about to start making 60 grand, right? Like for example, we said Little Rock was 45,000, San Diego was 50 grand starting out, Nashville's 48,000. And the average teacher salary is 55 grand, right? I told you guys when I first started teaching in Memphis, I only made 40 grand. How does this affect the rest of the salary scale? If the minimum is 60, so let's say it was 40, right? And now it's going to be 60. That's a $20,000 difference. At the end of the salary scale, does that reflect that? So instead of me making 85,000 at the end of 20 plus years of teaching, can I now make 105,000? While living in the South, because that's good money. Six figures and living in most cities in the South, you're gonna do pretty well with yourself if you know how to, you know, manage your money and budget and whatnot, and handle your debt respectively. So that's what I want to know. Like, what will that look like? And what does that look like for cities, districts where the starting pay is already more than 60,000? Chicago starting at 64,000. New York City schools is public schools is 61,000. They're already above the minimum. So do they not get a bump, and does theirs stay the same? That's something we need answers to. How does this affect you as a professional educator? Like, how does this personally affect you? Where are you right now in your respective salary scale? Also, a part of the bill is that the federal government is going to require states to make sure salary scales exist and are public, but like public knowledge. You should be able to see it by going to a website, going to the HR department. It should be right there when you're considering teaching for a particular district. And I'm be honest with you, I see it everywhere. I have yet to not be able to find that. So I'm not sure like what school districts aren't publishing their teacher salary information. That would be a district I would not want to work for. That should be pretty easy information to obtain. So how does that actually affect you as a professional educator? One thing, this doesn't seem like a very long-term solution, right? In the beginning, I kind of broke down. I told you guys, this is a four-year federal grant. So if this is a four-year federal grant, how does that affect you? Now, long-term, right? We don't know if this thing's going to go past 4 years. Here's some advice. If you've been teaching, so I'll say my first 2 years of teaching when I taught SPED, I wasn't taking things very seriously. If you know my story, you know I left after my first 2 years, went, started my own business, wrote a book, did a bunch of stuff, right? Worked for Apple. I did a bunch of things in my 2 year absence from education. When I got back into education from one district to another district, I would say for 5 years of me returning back into education, I went hard. Like I went really, really hard, right? And when I say I went hard, I mean burning the midnight oil hard, right? Like taking papers home, grading papers nonstop, barely taking a lunch. If I took a lunch, I would either be taking a nap, because at that time my son was born in 2015, so I wasn't getting much sleep. So I would literally take like cat naps. I take little 20-25 minute naps throughout the day because I needed it. But burning the midnight oil, just going above and beyond, not, you know, being one of the first people there, you know, waking up at 5 in the morning, being one of the last people to leave. I'm not saying this is healthy. But specifically, when I worked in Millington, right, for 5 years, right, I was learning coach. I was an English teacher. I taught seventh grade. Then I got promoted without additional pay to Apex Gifted, right? And I did a bunch of other things as well, too, during that time. And so obviously my principal saw something in me, and I would hope that your principal sees something in you. She was preparing me for something greater. And we also were turning around a school. And if you don't know what a turnaround school is, it's basically a school that's done poorly academically for years. And they bring in a new staff, and we brought in maybe a 97, 98% all brand new teachers, 100% brand new administration, right? Only a few veteran teachers stayed. So because everybody was so brand new, we had to be acclimated to the city, to the kids, to their family, to the culture. First year is hard to make an immediate turnaround. It's usually a multi-year process. And we lost a lot of educators over that first year. There were a lot of changes. But once we finally hit our sweet spot, I'd probably say probably after 3 years, 3.5 years, we really started making some major growth with our kids. But my point is, when you're working in that type of environment, every day matters. Every lesson plan matters. Every grade you give matters. Every bit of feedback you give on a student's essay or work matters. How you communicate with the parents matters. How you communicate with the students. Each interaction, even if it's not academic, just me commenting on my student's shoes or their belt or a new haircut they got or whatever it is, me wearing Jordans so then they can relate to me, my new pair of Air Max, I'm putting those on with the suit. So they're like, okay, you clean today, you fresh today. And teachers, listen to me, students don't have to like you, they have to respect you in order to learn. But not only do they have to respect you, they do have to like you in order to learn from you. So I know that sounded contradictory, but it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. In order for a kid to actually learn from you, they've got to like you to some extent. And they definitely have got to respect you, right? So you can't get away from those. So you have to find that balance. Like, I'm a very strict educator. I'm a strict parent as well, too. But I make my kids laugh. My own kids, and I make my students laugh, right? So you have to balance. You have to, and it's good for kids to see there's a balance between work and play, between being serious and having fun, right? Those things can exist in your respective, not just classroom, but your school, your school building, that culture. So I say all that to say this. I got burnt out after 5 years of going hard. But it was worth it as far as my student success, my school success, okay? I got a lot of opportunities working at Millington for a turnaround school, turnaround district as well. I got opportunities quicker, or I should say I received opportunities a lot more at an earlier time span than I probably should have, in comparison to someone with more experience. But I was really, really good at what I did, and I worked really, really hard. And I'm grateful that my principal and the leadership team observed that and respected that and gave me that shot. And I'm grateful that I had confidence in myself, and I had, you know, just an extra, like a chip on my shoulder. I have something to prove. I still have that now, right? I always have something to prove. And of course, we're not the same, but if you're like literally, like you listen to this podcast, like you rock with like what we talk about on this podcast, you're that exact type of educator, professional person, right? You're a go-getter. I'm a dreamer as well, too, and a lot of you guys probably are, because typically educators, we're a lot more creative, and many of us have entrepreneurial spirits. I mean, you can just see it on social media, like everybody's got something extra going on. And I know for a lot of us, we've had to have something going on because we needed more income. Not just needed. Let me say this, guys, we deserved more income. So, I mean, honestly, I'm grateful for a bill like this, the American Teacher Act, because it is showing that, hey, there's a problem. There is a mass exodus, as I predicted, since the pandemic. Teachers want more. They deserve more. But anytime you can take a teacher who had been teaching for 11 years with two master's degrees, and then they can go to a whole new profession they've never done before, right? Novice, wet behind the ears, and make significantly more money doing that as a novice, as a newbie in a different industry, that's a scam. I don't know any other ways to describe that. That is a scam. I made more money immediately leaving education than I did from being in education. And that's nothing to brag about. I'm not proud of that at all. I hate it. I despise it. That I have pure disdain for that. It's not about that. Educators, you work hard, you're super intelligent, you're super smart, you deserve the best. All right, let me get to my main point. This is a short-term solution, guys. We gave Ukraine, actually, let me see, I got that pulled up too. How much money did the United States of America give Ukraine over this last year? All right, I see an article May 21st by CNBC. President Biden signed a $40 billion aid package for Ukraine. Then he came back around in September of last year, a few months ago, guys. This is January 2023. And approved a $1.1 billion in assistance, security assistance for Ukraine. That's $41.1 billion. Oh, look, there's another article. Biden announces $3 billion Ukraine military aid package. Where are we at? $44.1 billion given last year in a matter of months? Now, we don't know yet how much the American Teacher Act, how much it's going to cost, right? Because obviously we don't know, like, again, in New York City, they're already making more than 60 grand. In Chicago, Illinois, or at least for Chicago Public Schools, they're already making more than 60 grand, right? So are they just left out, or do they get something? I hope they get, like, all teachers deserve something more, right? Cost of living, high. Inflation, high. Food, gas, clothing. You know, even if you order, you guys notice, because I've got stock in Amazon. You guys notice that Amazon's Prime is not priming like it used to, right? I used to order things from Amazon Prime. It would be there the next day, or at least 2 days at the latest. Now I've had packages where I'm like, hey, where's my stuff? It's been 2 weeks. They've had to cancel orders and refund me and apologize and do all this special stuff for me. And I'm sure they have for you, because it's like, I don't know what's going on. Well, I know what's going on. It's all affected by the economy. The Ukraine war does actually affect us. And that's a whole different podcast that I'm never going to host. But you can find like podcasts that actually talk about how the war in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia, is affecting inflation and the economy on a global scale, specifically in the United States of America. Right? Because we care about the world, but we have to be honest with ourselves. What's going on in this country should be our immediate concern. And that's my point in bringing up, why are we giving so much money to Ukraine when clearly we have our own issues and conundrums here that we need to resolve? Okay. So 4 years is short term. Okay. It's not a long term solution. Because it's a short term solution, this is just my advice. If you've been teaching for 5 years, and this is the reason why I brought up, you know, when I came back into education, I went super hard for 5 years straight. I literally burnt myself out. When I was at my last district, I was still a good teacher, but I was not the best teacher I possibly could be. I was tired, and that's why I left, right? I wanted to make more money and do less. And I'm not saying do less like I wasn't doing my job. I was doing my job, but I was doing my job. I wasn't going above and beyond. And so I want to recommend to you guys that if you've been teaching for at least 5 years, I'm not saying that you need to make a career transition, but you need to make a decision. If you've been teaching for 5 years, most teachers don't make it to that point. Okay? You've already defied the odds. So if you've been teaching for 5 years, you owe it to yourself, to your family, to your future family, to your pocketbooks, to your investments. Let's keep it a bean. Let's keep it 100. Life is expensive. Adulthood is expensive. Living in this country is extremely expensive. Every time you go outside, you spend money. Every time you wake up, thank God he wakes us up. We're grateful for the day. You spend money. Your lights cost money. The water that you know, when you're making your coffee or your tea or just drinking tap water. I don't drink tap water, but I do use it for tea. I do use it to brush my teeth. I do use it to shower. It costs money. When you take a shower and you take a bath, you got all these special type of soaps and products and, you know, taking care of your skin. Take care of your skin. It's an organ, right? Man or woman, or whatever you identify as. Let me be respectful. You're spending money. Everything costs money. You cook at home. I'm be honest, guys. I work from home and I love cooking. But when I grocery shop and I cook, and then maybe the next day I might order something from a restaurant, I feel like I'm saving more money from ordering things at restaurants. And again, that's because, and of course, that's going to depend on like what is the specific meal you're making. But some meals are more expensive to buy the ingredients and cook at home than it is to just go to a restaurant and let them do it. And that's a dangerous place for us to be, simply because we've all been like kind of programmed like, hey, we shouldn't be eating out. It's one, unhealthy, and it's two, very expensive. But now reality is not reflecting that. It seems like, depending again on what the meal you're trying to eat or the type of food you're trying to eat, it's more expensive. And so fast forward, it's expensive to live. And if you have a significant other, if you have a family, if you have a house, you know, whether you're paying rent or mortgage, it's all, if you have a pet, come on, man. I told y'all season 2, we getting real. Let's talk about it. Like, think about it. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. when I read an article about personal finance, right? And when they have like that chart where it's like, oh, if you're 30, you should have X amount of dollars in investments and in your retirement. And if you're 35 or you're 40 or 45, whatever, I don't like reading that chart. And the reason why I don't like reading that chart, because I'm keeping it a bean, that's what we do here, is because we weren't given that information immediately. I love my family to death. They did a great job raising me. But there was a lot of information that I received as in my adolescence, and there was a lot of information I didn't receive. Some of the information that was given to me almost haphazardly, right? Like it was mentioned to me, or read this book or read that, and I'm not blaming anybody. Again, I love my family to death. They did a great job raising me. But the information I have now that I'm older versus when, you know, and I've been working since 11 years old, guys, in my grandfather's barbershop, no lie. Cross my heart, hope to die. I've been working since 11 years old. So I'm used to putting in that work. My work ethic is very, very strong, right? But let's keep it honest. Like we get tired. I just told you guys, I went crazy for 5 years straight to get back in education and prove a point. And not only do that, but to help turn around a separate school, a second school. And we did that successfully. And so my educational resume, like if I get in the interview and I'm talking about like my experiences in education and the different things that I've learned and did and accomplished and data, like I should be able to get any job in education, right? But I got burned out. I don't want you guys to get burned out. And if you're already there, it's time for you to reflect. If you've been teaching for at least five years, it's time for you to make a plan. Do you want to be a principal? Okay. Sometimes, I know several assistant principals that never got the chance to be head principals because they got out of that role. Like, I won't say immediately, but after a few years and different schools and things not working out and just putting in so much work, they got tired. They got burned out. Okay. So you need to decide, do you want to be a principal? If that's the way you want to go, start planning now. Do you want to stay in the classroom? If you want to stay in the classroom and hopefully get to, you know, depending on what state you're in, that 108,000, that 129,000, that 114,000, Nashville, you're getting the 86,000. What we say, Little Rock, 77,000, right? If that's what you want to do, hey, kudos to you. I'm not judging. I just want you guys to be happy. I just want you guys to be successful. Right? Because that's what I'm after. I'm after happiness, success, and peace. That's what the Black Scholars Tribe is about. We're about being our very best. Okay? And it's not all about money, right? But we need the money not only to survive, because that I hate that mentality, but we need to have like a thinking, a mindset of abundance, right? So six figures, seven figures, eight figures, that's what we deserve. But we got to go get it. We can't just sit there and just say, I deserve it. We can't just sit there and podcast about it, right? We can't just YouTube about it. We can't tweet about everything. We need to actually put plans in motion. We need to write down goals. We need to set up a plan. We need to strategize. We need to execute. So again, for a third time, if you've been teaching for 5 years, I need you to plan out the rest of your career. It doesn't mean you can't change it. It doesn't mean you can't adjust your plans, but you've given more than enough to the K-12 profession. It is now time for you to plan. And either you're planning to leave, you're planning to stay, you're planning to elevate, but you need to be planning. You know, I mentioned principals, becoming a principal all the time, because that was my experience. But there are board positions available. There are a lot of different board positions available. One of my former principals, actually two of my former principals, as far as I know, now work for their respective board of educations. And they're making decent money, good money, respectfully, considering where we stay in Tennessee, where it's a lower cost of income or living rather than other states. You know, sometimes you get burnt. They got burnt out, right? So you go do something else. That's an option for you. If you're the best, one of the best math teachers in your building, in the district, there's an opportunity for you using your skills for your district. If, like I told you guys, like how my transition to data analytics, I was good in like with analytics, and you guys do that now with your students. Like you're looking at that data and trying to, you know, create like a response to the data. Like, okay, I see for this particular standard, these kids aren't getting this. These kids are getting this. How can I provide intervention or enrichment for both sets of groups? That's data analyst. That's what a data analyst does. That's an analysis, right? You can do that. You can transfer those skills, transferable skills, to a school board, to a board of education. There's a specific role for that, right? There are educational analysts or educational data analysts or just data analysts who work in education, right? So there's a lot of different opportunities available for you while still being in education, okay? But you need to decide what you want to do, okay? And so I will say this four-year grant where everyone's salary, hopefully in education in the classroom, is going to go up regardless of where you stay, that gives you at least, or that gives you a maximum of 4 years to make your transition. Right. So if you set a goal, you got a 4 year, because this isn't even law yet. OK, so once it's, you know, voted on, it goes through the process. It's enacted in every state. It's ratified. All those great words we learned in social studies class. And it's a real thing. And you see it reflected in your contract. You see it reflected on your salary scale. Then you are ready to act. So if that means you want to leave teaching and go into being a principal, then you need to start looking up programs, looking up what the requirements are, what tests do you have to pass, what connections do you have. Start planning now. Do you want to stay in the same district? You want to stay in the same state? You want to move? Start planning now. If you want to leave education, cross over to a different industry, you want to go back to, you know, you want to go to nursing school, you know, maybe you want to be a lawyer, start doing your research now. We have got to plan. For many years, and I'm going to be brief about this, guys, I'm sorry. For many years, I operated planning in my head. So I had a goal in my head. I had an idea of how to accomplish that goal in my head. And I knew when just about I wanted to reach that goal in my head. I probably accomplished half of what I should have accomplished operating from that standpoint. Write it down, make it visible, make it clear. We all know how to create SMART goals. Same thing. This is your life. You only got one shot at this. Take it seriously. And that's what my entire 2023 is about. I'm taking myself very, very seriously. Whatever I want to become by the end of the year, by the end of next year, by the end of the next 5 years, whatever I want to own, right? Whatever I want to drive, wherever I want to go, whatever I want my bank accounts and brokerage accounts and retirement accounts to look like, right? It starts right now. There's never going to be a perfect time to start a family. There's never going to be a perfect time to get married. There's never going to be a perfect time to get your passport and go visit 5 international countries abroad. It's never going to be a perfect time to start a side hustle. It's never going to be a perfect time to write a book, start a podcast, start that clothing line, right? Record an album if you're musically inclined, whatever it is you want to do. I need you guys to plan now, and don't let, I said I'm going to be brief. Don't let who you actually are as an educator, please don't let that, don't let people's idea of what a classroom teacher or educator is limit you in the life that you actually live and the goals you go after. Should I say that again, guys? You being a teacher, English teacher, art teacher, math teacher, science teacher, whatever your specific position is in education, instructional coordinator, whatever, a counselor, you know, that comes with a certain stigma, right? Some of it positive, Like, oh, you're an educator, you're smart. But some people feel like educators are like lazy. Like, oh, you know, what's the saying that we all hate? Those who can do, and those who can't teach. You guys heard of that before? That's a terrible saying. But you know what, though? It's kind of true to some extent. To some extent, it's somewhat true. I do know, and you know, some people who never took themselves seriously, they haphazardly applied themselves to education just because they kind of like kids, and they made a career of it. They're not very good at what they do, but they do enough to stick around and collect a paycheck. And some of them will be, they won't make it 5 years. Some of them, they've made it 10 years, even longer. Don't let that be you. And try to get away from those type of people, right? Surround yourself with the right people around you. Even in education, whether you decide to make it a long-term career, you're deciding to leave. Doesn't matter. But again, last time saying it, if you've been teaching for at least 5 years, maybe this is your fifth year. This law is not official yet. This law is a short-term solution to a much deeper, more complex problem, okay? And you, once it's enacted, have 4 years to make your dreams your reality. They're giving you a four-year head start. There's nothing better, and I'm speaking from experience, and a lot of you guys can relate to me. It is nothing better than receiving a consistent check, right? While doing something you still enjoy doing, but you're ready for something bigger, right? Because you're supposed to challenge yourself, embrace your challenges. You know, you can't get better if you don't strive for better. But there's nothing better than getting a consistent check while still doing what you love doing and able to do at a high level, even if you're not giving, you know, burning the midnight oil, right? Because when you're good, when you're really, really good, when you're gifted, okay? Let's talk about that. When you're gifted, it doesn't take 100% effort all the time. You didn't put in that work. So that's why I said 5 years, right? Because you didn't start off the best teacher in the world. You probably sucked. But you've been observed enough. You've been in enough pre-observation meetings and post-observation meetings. And you've read a billion books and you've gotten an extra degree or two and you've been to 100 professional developments. You've done the things that you need to do to develop respectfully in this particular industry. And you can stay in this industry and continue to make a difference. But all I want for you is to be happy, be successful, make a lot of money. And it's okay to hustle and have a side business, have a part-time job, have a seasonal business, make investments. Everybody's doing rental property now, short-term leases and all that stuff. Everybody's trying to do an Airbnb. You can do all of those great things as an educator, okay? You can do all of those great things, but can I keep it honest with you guys? And I'm going to wrap this show up. Can I be honest with you guys? You're going to burn yourself out from life. Oh! He preaching. You're going to burn yourself out from life. I just told you guys I burnt myself out after going hard for 5 years consecutively in my profession. And many of you can relate to that because you've worked at a turnaround school. You've worked at a Title I school and 80% of the school is impoverished and 85% of the school is reading at least two grade levels below where they should be. Right? Do we need to talk literacy, numeracy scores? We need to talk math and English scores? Because those determine everything in education. They do. Shout out to my science, social studies, art, PE, right? Computer science, robotics teachers. I love all of you. But we all know everything's connected to numeracy and literacy. If a kid can't read, write, or calculate, it affects them across the curriculum. You guys have burnt yourselves out. You're tired. But by being a teacher and having a hustle, because you guys know I do that, you know I've been doing that for a long time, you will burn yourself out from life. You deserve to work one job and make a large sum of money. And of course, you need more than one stream of income. I've been saying that since 2018. Nothing has changed. But your other sources of income doesn't mean that you have to be doing 15 different things, right? And part of, and I'm gonna end right here, part of creating passive income is working really hard for a very short period of time. So then you have a vehicle or a vessel of income coming in even while you sleep. Quick example, you write a book, you create content around that book, you build up a tribe. Hopefully you build up the tribe before you write the book. The book is there on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, your own website. And it's there until the day you die and after you die. And those royalties just keep running in. I just literally have, actually, I still need to do it. I need to update my information with my new bank accounts with Amazon. Because that book is still making money. Shout out to Black Scholars Publishing and all the good people there. So mass exodus is real. This is, let's summarize. Let's go ahead and cap this off. Mass exodus is real. 2.6 million educators have left the classroom since COVID, since the pandemic. 60,000 is not a bag, but it could be helpful considering all of the expenses. Some districts, some states, some cities, 60,000 is pretty good. Others, they're already paying more than that. Chicago, 60,000 doesn't go very far, which is why they pay more. They start off at 64,000. 60,000 is not going to make you rich, but you can do something with it. And the goal is, if you've been teaching at least 5 years, guess what, guys? It's time to plan to do something at a higher level. Even if you decide to stay in the classroom, you can still do things at a higher level. I'm not saying, oh, let's burn yourself out for the next 28 years, but you need to be very, very strategic on how you build wealth if you decide to stay in the classroom. Because before you get the salary you deserve, you're going to have to earn either an EDS, master's degree plus something, 30, 45, maybe 60, 70 credits, depending on the district, or you need a doctorate degree and you need a lot of experience. At least a couple of decades. Well, I'd say at least 17 years based on the research I've done in the classroom for you to get a decent bag. Or you could leave. And leaving doesn't mean you leave education, but you need to get out of that classroom. Whatever it is you guys decide, pray about it, fast about it. I know you'll make the best decisions for you. Let's be logical. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent. And with that,
what can I say? Mamba out.
Thank you for listening to the Black Scholars Podcast. For more information, sometimes go to blackscholarspublishing.com.
You just gotta
go!
You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So one no slaves in our history. One no slave ships, one no misery.